we saw last time, which was actually 2 weeks ago. We'll look through it again quickly, and I just want to share one or two sources related to that sugya with you. And that will hopefully be a good segue into the final sugya, which I hope to conclude tonight. And we will then be at the point of the new Mishnah, the Dalam of Chavches, which we can begin Be'ezras Hashem next week. So the plan tonight, once again, is actually to conclude the Gemara. But first, we're going to begin by just reading again quickly the Gemara that we read last time, which is approximately 12-13 lines from the bottom of the page, Tashma. The Gemara is again trying to bring various rayos, proving one way or the other regarding the machlokes of Ovid Inish Dilan and Nafshe, which we've been discussing now for many months. And the Gemara offers a raya from a Mishnah which is found above a Basra, where the Mishnah says, "Harei shahayis haderach harabim alveres betel sodeyu." If a person has a public passageway that passes through his sada, his field, so then he decides that he wants to rearrange his property and how it's used. So instead of them using this particular route, he offers an alternative route for them, and he gives that to them. So the din is, the Mishnah says, Mashanasan Nasan, that which he designated for them as the new route is given to them, and he can't go back on that. And the Shalolo Hagiyo, and that which he intended to claim for himself, namely the original route, so that is something which he didn't actually accomplish in doing, that's still Shaykh L'Rabin. So in the end, he loses. He was trying to swap one route for another, and in the end, not only did he not gain the old route for himself, but he actually lost an additional piece of his property, which is now also considered a Derech L'Rabin. So the Gemara now says, based on this Mishnah, the Yamas of it inish dilin anafshe, if it's true that we would say that a person can take the law into his own hands, so linkod pazer v'leisiv. So then let him take a stick in his hand and sit there, and anybody who will come and try to walk through his field, so if necessary, he'll threaten him with physical force. So last time when we saw this sugya, we actually read the Rashbam from his commentary in Bava Basra, which offered a very extensive commentary on every line of the Gemara. We're not going to go back to that now, but essentially remember that the Rashbam was saying that if in fact a person has the right to take the law into his own hands, and over here, if we understand that there's actually a loss that he's suffering because of the fact that his field is being ruined in the process, so therefore he should have the right to go ahead and protect his own property. So the fact that the Mishnah rules that he cannot do that, you see from here, lo avid inish dilan anafshe. Again, the assumption that the Gemara seems to be making based on this question is that in fact really the route that he's trying to claim for himself, that passageway is his, it's just that he can't stop people from walking there. But the Gemara ultimately defends the position of avid inish dilan anafshe by saying that that's an incorrect assumption. That the assumption that the Gemara again is making that in fact this route belongs to him is not so, because Amar Rav Zid v'shmei the Rava gezeir shem yitin lam derech hakalsom. Zid said that over here when he tries to reacquire for himself this old route, it's not going to work. He cannot acquire that for himself. Why? Because Chazal would go there that a person may not claim for himself a passageway that had been designated for the Rabbim, because there's a concern that maybe some guy will offer them a crooked route, and will offer them a road which will not be as accessible, will not be as comfortable, etc. So Razid says that even in the situation where it's not what he offered them, there's a gezeira. Rav Shashi says a similar explanation, but a little different. He says, no, we're not talking about a case where there's a gezeira. In fact, there is no gezeira. Rather, we're talking about a case where he actually gave them a crooked path, but no sin them derech hakalsom. And Rav Ashi was the final answer. He says, no, the truth is, it's not that he dafke gave them a derech hakalsom, but the truth is, when we're considering something which is shayach to the rabbin, so we say, kol minatza derech hakalsom. That essentially, anything that he's going to offer them is going to be considered crooked. In what regard? Because it's going to be krov lezer, or kol kolezer, because it may be convenient for some, but it's now going to be inconvenient for others. And so therefore, the fact that there had been a path that had been designated for the rabbin, and remember the Rashbam said either this was so before he purchased the property, or maybe there was something that he relinquished to the rabbin at some point in the past, but that's not something he could just go ahead and claim back for himself, because he can't, because it now belongs to them, and it wasn't given to them with any tanai, with any conditions. It's not like you said you could use this root for a month and then I get it back. It was given to them. People rely on that for their own convenience, and he can't go ahead and claim it for himself because of the inconvenience that it poses. Again, the Havamina was, remember the Rambam said that perhaps Kofen Amidas Dom, perhaps we would force them to take the new root because after all, they don't lose. So what we're seeing now is no, they do lose. And even if the loss is minor, nevertheless, that's something that is... that is not in his power to go ahead and just claim this route for him. The new path. So now that was the last Gemara's last question. Yehachi amai shalolo higiyo. So why is it that that he cannot claim for himself the? Actually, amai shalolo higiyo leima lahu shkula didchu v'havelu didi. Because why do you say that he loses everything? At least let him say, fine, take the old one, but at least give me my new one back. So that's Mishum de Rabbi Yehuda. Rabbi Yehuda, Meitzah, Shechliko Barabim, also Lekalkolo. Because a border, boundary, or a strip that is adjacent to a Rishus Rabbim, which has been used, there has been some form of usage which would constitute a Kinyan Chazaka, which was done by the Rabbim, and, as Rashbam explains, the owner of that particular meitzar watches this and doesn't protest. So once they make that kinyan, so usul kalkalo, he does not have the right to go ahead and claim that back for himself. So essentially, he loses over here the original root that he tried to claim for himself, he never had the right to take. And the one that he offered them, he had essentially relinquished rights to that by offering it to them, by allowing them to be kona it, and he initially didn't stop them. So therefore, he loses on both ends.
No, I know you mentioned it later on, but they might have made, the tzibur might have made improvements on the road and made changes. So, but I certainly they're not going to get it. They're not going to return.
Right, you're saying that okay, because they may have there may have been a certain expenses that had been. Covered by the Rabbim. Okay, but that perhaps that's something that they could work out. You would think that perhaps he could say to them, I'll pay you for the expenses, but still take it for myself. And you're correct, in other words, that could have been the situation, but even if we know that they had not put a penny into this derech, the fact that it had been there for their use has something he can't claim for himself. I remember last time at the end of the shiur, people wanted to know, is this the bottom line? Is this the halacha? So again, the first source that is on the sheet tonight is the din of Shulchan Aruch. The mishah he said derech harabim averes b'tol sadeyu not levenasan lehem in atzad mashenasan nasan v'zachuvo. That which he gives them is theirs. V'zeshenasan lo zachuvo, and that which he tried to take himself, he cannot even take. I'm sorry. So the Nemuki Yosef in his commentary on the Gemara actually says that this is a knas. The fact that we do not take that into consideration is a knas because of the fact that he tried to chop back from them the root, and he had no right to do that. So even though you're right that the situation would seem to call for some consideration, after all, it would appear that his offering them the new root was only on the assumption that he was going to gain the original one back, and therefore, like you said, it was only batal. So even though he didn't state explicitly it's nice, isn't that obvious? So the answer is yes, but nevertheless, this is a knas that is imposed. In other words, we do not take that into consideration because of the stealthy manner, or really the prohibited manner, even though there was nothing stealthy about it, the prohibited manner in which he tried to reclaim something from the rabbin, which he doesn't have a right to do.
Right.
Right. So I don't know that they even have to do that much. I think if they walk through it, and if they walk through it as if they were their own property, right? A kinyan chazaka on karka, even if they're walking through, and
that would be considered preparation in and of itself.
If he. Right, so that's somewhat not clear. As if this is really a knas of sorts, so perhaps we don't even wait for them to actually, make that kinyan. I'm not sure. Right. That was the sugya of Ein Holchem B'Mamonacha Rov. Right, so over there we said that we do not follow the Rov. So what are you saying? We do not follow the Rov, and therefore we do not call it Mekaf Tovs. So over here, so what would that have to do with here? Right, that was the conclusion of the sugya Ein Holchem B'Mamon. Right, that's the halacha, that we do not follow the majority when it comes to Din Mamon. Even if the majority of people in that particular locale refer to a chavis as a chavis as a kohen, a kohen as a chavis, or the other way around, if he used the non-popular word, he would still the law would be in the favor of the muchzak. Right, that's what we said. Whoever was the muchzak at that point would win because ain't holchem b'mamonacha rov. No, it wouldn't. So if we did not take into consideration this concept of knas, you'd be right. But no, but I guess the question is, the reason why we have to get to this, because the question that's being raised is a good one. Wait a second, it's not fair. It's clearly his intention to give them this new path was only out of a sense of he felt entitled to one path for himself. He felt I was going to give him this, and I claimed the other one back for myself. That was his thinking. That's clear. So the fact that the Gemara concludes that we don't say that he loses, it's a mystery, that he loses everything, so we understand that it's a knas. Hold on one second, let me see very quickly if I can find the Geyosik. I don't see it here. We didn't see it. Right, so I can tell you that I saw it, but I don't remember where. So maybe it was actually it could have been, the Rishonim and the Gemara of Basra. Okay, I think the conclusion that one must reach. Maybe take a look in the art scroll, maybe in the footnotes. Maybe they bring down on the last piece over here. It could very well be that there would be this question would be addressed there. You see anything there in the final? On this last piece over here, why doesn't he get to claim the original one back for himself? So the Rabbi Yehuda Meitzan Shulchan Rabbim Asur LeKalkala. So the question over here, again, everybody's asking is but he only gave it to them Batalos. So, did they comment there? It seemed like something that they would comment on.
Is one of the methods that affects the acquisition.
That's it. Okay. Let me start. Okay. So then, okay. So I. Right. So,
I understand.
But even so, clearly, what everybody's saying, and one cannot deny, is that even if he stood back and watched them flatten the earth, it was all on the assumption that he was going to be able to legally claim that original passage back. Otherwise, he would never have done it. So the question is, why is it too late after it was clearly vetoes? So you're suggesting is over here, again, part of the problem was that he was trying to take something back from the Rabbim, and being that he's not dealing with one individual.
Or even any corporate entity. I mean, if they got it for, weeks in a party or something like that, then presumably he could deal with
it. Right. Well, let me just share with you that on the sheet that I gave out to you, the third source is from the Shiur of Rav Soloveitchik, which says Rishima Shiur Shel Hagrid Zatzal. So he asks the question, which now only now really seems obvious to me. I don't even know if anybody asked this last time, but if you look at the Gemara very carefully, it's not clear why the Gemara seems to pin this particular question to the greater question we're dealing with of it in Shiloh Nafshe, because the truth is one really has nothing to do with the other. And what he writes, Tema, minayim legemara sheim avid in Shiloh Nafshe sheim korpazer v'leisiv. Why does the Gemara assume that if you say avid in Nafshe, a person should take a stick and sit there and threaten people? Klomar sheyesh lo zechus lahachlich berach harav mederach acheres. Would we say as well that we'd say that a person based on the pitch of Avid Inishlan Afshi has the right to go ahead and swap fields with his neighbor if his neighbor doesn't want to do that? Over here the swap is being done without their consent. If in fact he does have some right to switch the passageways, so lamatlui zuchus minias harabim Avid Inishlan Afshi. So why should that their inability to stop him have to do with the principle of avid inishlan afshe? Why is that relevant? The whole shot until now has always been in cases where there has been a crime against me. Something has happened which has hurt me, and I want to prevent a further loss. And so therefore, rather than go to Bezin, I take the law into my own hands. About Pashin who Shakom Odim, Shabbat Mashan Linoa Gazo Milachila, meaning the comes to the shoots of Ligzo. Certainly, in a situation where someone is coming to take from me, so certainly that's not of an Ishlanashe. If someone comes into my house and starts breaking in, I can stop him at the door. You don't say that comes down to Machodas of an Ishlanashe. So again, if in fact I had a right to switch the routes, so why do we say it's totally an avid dilanashi if I could sit there with a stick in the middle of the road? It should be completely relevant. Over here, should we have to stop them from going into his rishos? If in fact it was legal what he did, then everybody would agree that he could stop them from coming in. So what he suggests, perhaps, along the lines of the point that you were just making, Mela, for you to chain, she'afal pi she'zuchus v'shabal asada l'hachlif derech harabim derech acheres. Even if, on a certain level, he actually does have a right to switch the two routes, for whatever reason, and We saw one or two of these reasons last week. Kofen Amita Stone. If you can make a halacha against, he has the right to switch it. Ein mishu yaseg as harabim b'chalip b'neila ela bezin. There's no one who can represent the masses for such an exchange except for bezin. Because in all areas of Torah law, it's Bezdin who serves as the representative of the Rabbim and operates on their behalf. Right? When I want to deal, as you said, with a corporate entity, so I can't deal with one private individual, I'm dealing with a group. So now the Gemara says the following. Rab Bezdin, only Bezdin, oh, Mishabami Kocham, someone who is serving as a representative of Bezdin, Yachala Haskin La Hachwafas Adrachim. That person is entitled, that person has the authority to authorize such an exchange. Therefore, the Gemara associated the two. And this is consistent with the way the Rav learned the sugya, as we saw months ago. According to the opinion, it says, Avid Inish L'Nafshe. What does that mean? The Bala Sada becomes like the representative of Bezdin. That's what it means, Avid Inish L'Nafshe. After all, since when can I take the law into my own hands? No, it's that the Torah gives me the right to serve as a Shliach Bezdin. So then, so now, even though I'm really an Ogei of a Dover, somewhat ironic, you know, here I am, I'm switching my own field, but in a sense, if we say Ovid and Shil Nafshe, I can now serve as their representative. According to the opinion, says no, you may not. That means, Ein Bal Hasad Shliach Bezdin. It means you do not serve in that capacity. Therefore, you have no right to do so, not because the exchange itself is illegal, perhaps that could be justified, but there's no one to represent them, and therefore you cannot exact such an exchange, and therefore the child doesn't get off the ground. So the Rav uses this idea to make the association, the connection between these two seemingly unrelated points. Because the Gemara over here is really talking about two different issues. One is the exchange of these two roots legal? Is that justified? And the second one is, do we say Avid and Ishul and Afshe? We threw the two together and assumed that there was a connection, but the Rav says, when you think about it, they're really two separate points. And, you know, the truth is, again, just to review the question, if in fact the exchange was legal, so then I could stop them even regardless of the din of Avid and Ishul and Afshe. There's nothing to do with that. I could stop you from walking to my own property. So he says, no. If you can make a case that the exchange is legal, you still need to get around the problem of who's representing them, who's serving as the representative of the Rabbin. So that's where Avid Inish L'Nafshe comes in. That if I, the principle of Avid Inish L'Nafshe means I serve as a Shliach Bezdin, and in this case, and I'm taking on, you know, a greater role. Normally Shliach Bezdin was just dealing with one individual. Now, my role as a Shliach Bezdin allows me to represent the Rabbin. And I guess the big chiddush in the thinking over here is that I'm representing the Rabbim, right? Because I'm representing the Rabbim, you know, for my own interests, my own personal interests. So that again,
I thought it's the other side. It's the tzibur is getting the representation from.
No, so again, well, that's, you know, that, the question again. Well, that's the problem. Is who is representing him? It can only be Bezdin. Over here, there is no one appointed by Bezdin. So in the absence,
why not?
It just, what do you mean why not? Because he didn't go to Bezdin and knock on the door and say, excuse me, I'd like to. But over here, he didn't go to Bezdin. He didn't go that channel, right? All he did was try to do this himself. So again, the Rav is saying that if you say Ovid Inish Nilan and Afshe, so that means I have the right to take the law into my own hands. Meaning what? I'm now a Shliach Bezdin, so I can manage this entire case. So that's the power that I have as a Shliach Bezdin. And even though, yes, I'm an Ogei of a Dover, but I'm also, I have the title of Shliach Bezdin, which gives me a certain power, a certain authority. I mean, it's a Chiddush, but right. No, but over here, but you wouldn't. No, but in normal, in every case we've, that's true. But in other, that's true. But in other case, you're not even making a case that he's somehow representing the other side, right? if he's representing his own personal interest, and Bez, and if this Bezdin authorizes him, okay, you can handle this on your own. But over here, the way we're trying to work this through, not only has he given the right to take the law into his own hands, but what that really means is that now he can serve as the capacity of the representative of the Rabbim, playing the role of Bezdin. Normally, in most cases, when you're dealing with individuals, that element is not needed, because people represent themselves. But now that we're dealing again with this group of people, so like you said, this is the corporate entity, which which requires some representation, which would normally come in the form of Bezdin, so he's going to fill that role as a Shliach Bezdin. Again, the Gemara concludes in the end, no, he doesn't. That's the conclusion of the Mishnah. So the Mishnah wanted to say, you see from here, lo avid in this tilanashe. The fact that he can't represent them shows that we reject this principle. And the Gemara got off and said, no, that's not true. This is the reason why the whole exchange is not legal, because he's causing them a loss. So in the end, but the Havim of the Gemara was that this Mishnah shows that a person cannot take the law into his own hands, the fact that he cannot serve as representative for them. It's a very chiddushic way of looking at the Gemara, but then again, I think the questions that he raises are pretty strong. So either way, you're gonna have to deal with that. Yeah. I think that's the way the Rav learned the sugya. But the Rav HaRachakir, we saw this months ago. The Rav HaRachakir, two ways of looking at it, and I haven't been following the shiurim on the whole way through, but I think many of the questions that have come up until now just try to plug that very chakir enough. So now this piece over here, which is the final piece on this whole sugya, so seems to be referring to that concept that the Rav had before, namely that the oven in the shulanavshe allows the person to assume this role, but which, by the way, just to remind you, which was actually the lashon of the Gemara a couple weeks ago, as we saw that the previous sugya concludes by saying that the woman becomes like a shliach bezin. The Gemara actually used that expression. He's up against the rabbi, he's not against the government. He's against. Right, I'm saying he's going against it. Right. Correct. Right. This is the first time he's going against the rabbi. Right. In fact, remember, last week we saw that's exactly why the Rashbam said there was a hefset over here, because it's impossible to take the rabbi to court. There's no way I can take him. So it's not like you can say go to court. Who am I taking? Okay.
According to Rav, then if we could establish that for the case of Midrash Don, then he could act.
Right, it would seem that way. Right, and it would be hard to come up with a case. And I know you just came up with one, but
it's not a good case.
Right,
and
I would like to. It would be right. Right.
I can't think of one now.
Right.
Right.
Correct. Right. Where? I'm sorry. We didn't finish in the Rav. Okay. Well, so where did we get up to? Amnon, ilu chalu hachalipin medina. If in fact the exchange was legal, right? If the exchange between the two roots was justified up din, so pshita shurushaylin kol positive relations. So obviously he would then be permitted to sit and protect his own property if necessary with force. All he's doing is stopping the thieves from coming in. Everybody would say he has that right. Even if you say a person is still allowed to protect his own property from thieves who are trying to get through. If in fact the exchange was legal and he had a right to reclaim the original route for himself, he would have the right as a landowner to say, excuse me, stop walking through and I'm going to stand here and protect it. This is my property.
Something happened.
the Gemara concludes that the exchange was not legal. The Gemara concluded saying you weren't allowed to do this because you've inconvenienced them. You don't have the right to do it. But had it been allowed, then of course he'd be able to sit in the middle of the road with a stick. Right? In the end, the Gemara rules that it, you know, such an exchange was not permissible. Well, again, it's not clear necessarily if the Gemara concludes like Ravid or Ravashi, but Ravashi's conclusion is kol min atzad derech hakalson. In other words, any exchange you're going to do is not going to be acceptable because it's going to inconvenience someone, and we don't.
So, I mean, but are we supposed to accept that this proves that we do not say
No, we're not. We're saying, right, the conclusion of this Gemara has nothing to do with Avodah Zarah. As, in fact, every Gemara until this point is concluded. Right, these are all, I mean, that's the way the whole sugyas work. You know, you see, Avid, lo Avid, the Gemara says no. Just talking about something else. Okay, we're not going to go back now to Kuvos number 2, but it was an interesting shayla that I came across. I just, searched the sugya, Avodah Zarah, I put you out of your misery months ago, and I'll remind you, and as we looked at Shulchan Aruch first, because I knew this was going to be gnawing at us, but it's been a while already, so the conclusion of the Gemara was like Rav Nachman, the halacha in Shulchan Aruch was like Rav Nachman, that in fact we say that a person may take the law into his own hands, Avodah Zarah in a situation, even when there is no hefset, because again, even Rehud agreed if there is a hefset you're permitted to do so, there was no machlokes. But as you remember, we saw that there were still many points that needed to be worked out regarding which there were debates. And one can use physical force, how much, under what circumstances, etc. So, before you actually take the law into your own hands, you may want to ask a shadow first. The tshuva in source number 2, interesting, there's nothing humorous about it, but I just found it interesting. And it was actually, the bulk of the tshuva had to do with the question of the particular shvuah that the person took over here. The case was, there was a mishares, there was a male servant, a house cleaner, someone who was living in the house with a woman and two of her sons. And the oldest son got angry at this guy, and one day kicked him out of the house and told him that he swears to God that if he ever comes back in the house, he's gonna smash your brains. Okay, so he was very upset. The thing is that the mother and the other son really liked this guy. He was very helpful around the house, and they wanted him back. So she wanted to know if there was a way to somehow allow him to come back, because this oldest son, who was still angry, was not yet willing to officially be matir, be show that this shvur, this nether that he took. So a lot of the tshuva that's dealt with over here has to do with shvurs, but he does get into this question and refers to our sugi over here, whether or not a person has the right, and to what extent a person has the right to actually kick someone out of his house. And he makes a chiluk, which not everybody holds by, because we saw just a couple weeks ago sources that said fakir, that a person can, if necessary, kick someone out of his house with force. But he assumes that the difference between a son and a house, the reason why the Gemara says you can stand and protect your field with force, is because every time someone walks across the field, they're ruining it. And he brings rice and others. I'm planting, I'm trying to grow a crop here, and you keep walking by, you're ruining it. But in the house, I wouldn't have a right necessarily to go ahead and hit a guy. To stand there, lace the parza, to sit there with a stick, if, again, there was no concern of danger, there was no concern that he was going to feel anything, I just didn't want him in the house. So, it was related to the figure that we're learning, but I still want to try to stick to the original plan, which was to finish the figure. So let's go on. I see the last tashma on the page, tashma about five lines from the bottom of the page. What happens is a person who leaves a corner of his field for aniyim. We know that medina yatoa, a person is obligated to leave a corner of his field for the Aniyim. It doesn't have to be dafka corner. It does, there's no specific shiras we know for this. But a person has to leave one of the matnos aniyim, one of the gifts that a person has to leave for poor people is what we call peya. So the Baal HaBayis designates a certain area of his field as peya. And then the aniyim come along, can you imagine, and say, no, we want here, but not limitzad acher. They take from the other side. So the din is zeh v'zeh peya. Now zeh v'zeh peya doesn't mean what you think it means. I mean, obviously you read it and you think it means they get both. It's not what it means. But the Gemara assumes, at the very worst what it means, the Gemara assumes, is not that they're going to be entitled to both. No, they're not going to be entitled to both. But that the Baal HaBayis has no say over which corner they take. In other words, he wanted to give them this, and he designated this payah. They come and they take from the other one. So zev zev payah means, the way the Gemara understands, that he can't say to them, no, I don't give you that, I want you to take this. That if that's what they take, they have a right to do it. So the Gemara says, v'yamrisin, if you say, of it in ishdilanashay, a person has the right to take the law into his own hands. Amai zev zev payah. Why would you say that? Linkod pazav alasiv. Let him stand and protect his own property and say, excuse me, get out of here, I gave you another payah. And we're not going to see the Rav inside now, but the Rav used the same logic in the analysis of previous sugya for here as well, in terms of the role that he's playing over here being sort of as a shliach bezin. So again, the Gemara says, b'chora, we have a question against the opinion that says, of an initial anashe, you see from here that a person really doesn't have the right to take the law into his own hands, because here it's his property, it's his field. The aniyim seem to be claiming a part of his field that he didn't offer them, and he has nothing. Well, again, it's his field. He has a right to decide. It's his field. But there's no such idea. Normally, the Baal HaBayis designates what he wants to give. So here, okay. So what does it mean? So Ava Rava, Rava says it's not what it means. Not what you think. It doesn't mean that they're entitled to take from where they want. Mai zev zev peya. It means lepotra min amaisa. It means that both the corner from where they took and the corner that he left initially for them, which now he's going to take back for himself, it's all patim and amaisa. Patim and amaisa, meaning he doesn't have to take from that and give to the Levium. Why? Kedetanya, because of the brisa that teaches, hamafkir is karma. If a person is mafkir his vineyard, the hishkim aboka, and then he gets up in the morning, ubatro, and then he starts to harvest the vineyard. So obviously you see that he went back on his being mafkirit, he relinquished all rights to it. And then in the morning he starts working in the field, obviously claiming it back for himself. So the din is the chayiv the pere to ba'olulos b'shichol b'peya. He's chayiv now that he's claiming it for himself again, he's chayiv the pere, which is some of the grapes that fall on the ground. He can't pick up, he has to leave it for the aniyim. Olulos are for the clusters of grapes that have not fully ripened. Shichacha, we know, is the trees that he leaves behind. Peya is the corner. All of these matnos aniyim he has to still give. Upatim and a maisa. But he's pater from having to give maisa. Why is he pater from having to give maisa? What's the svara behind this? No, the pay that which I give to the aniyim. That which they actually take, I don't have to give maaser from that. But over here, Rav explains, I'm taking it back for myself. I had to leave peya for the aniyim. They took this corner. Okay, I'm going to take this corner for myself. But now, I don't have to give maaser from that corner.
He says if he has to give peya.
Correct. But not maaser. It says patsim and maaser. We're talking only about maaser. No, he has his own kerem. He has a whole kerem. He's not giving all of it to the aniyim. Okay. Now that he's reclaiming this kerem for himself, so he has certain obligations, including them as peret, olo, and shichon peya. So he has to take care of that. But he's still going to have a remaining chunk of land, of which he is not required to give maaser.
The whole
this kerem, that he was mafkir. Yeah, so Rashi said, what's the reason for that? Right, so look through Rashi. Rashi says, what's the reason for that? Because there's a special din, says Rashi, that when you're mafkir, you're sadeh, the field that has become hefker you're not required to give maaser from. Rashi says, the poachim and a maaser, the apeya nesheres, even the corner that now remains that he's claiming for himself, hefker chashiva. It is considered, at one moment it was considered hefker, And even though he's taking it now for himself, he's potter. Why? And again, they bring a raya from this brisa that afagap the hefker potter mepeya, even though hefker is potter from peya, that's non kosu ochav and nishma chayev meiser. No, this is a mistake. You see, there's a tzarach lom over here. Takes out the word meiser. He's quoting from a Mishnah Peya, which has been misquoted over here. That even though hefker is generally pater from peya, right? If I'm maskim, I feel that I don't have to get peya from it. I feel hachi ki high hefker in a situation like this, where I maskim something and then I reclaim it for myself. Chayev b'chol hani, because the mafarish time of agos aleis and the chsiv b'tazov yuseva. Again, new ideas, but the sugi later on. It's actually not later on. Bava Basra Daf Tzadi Tes. Excuse me, it is later on. Daf Tzadi Dalin Bava Kama teaches that even if I'm going to try to pull a stunt where I'm going to be mafkir, if I'm mafkir my sadeh, but I'm just mafkir, I don't have to worry about pay. I have no obligation. I was mafkir the whole sadeh. What if I'm mafkir my sadeh and then I claim it back for myself? So I still have to give pay. Why? So the Gemara says later on because it says tazov again and again and again, and the fact that it's repeated shows that even when I reclaim my hefker property for myself, I now have the obligations of lekachich and pay, etc. There's just one time where that doesn't apply, and that's when it comes to meiser. When it comes to meiser, the din is, says Rashi, that if I'm mafkir it once, so then it's pater for meiser forever, even if I go ahead and claim it back for myself. So Rav explains that this case over here, that a Baal Bayis leaves a peya mitzad echad, ubo anim another mitzad achad, zeb that peya doesn't mean like you think that they can go ahead and take whatever they want. No, it's saying that if they're going to take from one corner, that the other corner, which he's now claiming for himself, is part of a ma'aser. And that's what it means that zeb that peya, that it still has that din of like hefkin. What's the chiddush over there? I guess the chiddush over here is that it was never really pay. He only designated that, thinking that that's what the Aniyim were going to take. Once the Aniyim took from another corner, so you would think, wait, it was never really hefker. Because it was, like we said before, it was the toes. I don't mean he's the word hefker. I shouldn't use the word hefker. But he never relinquished rights over it. He never really offered it to the Aniyim because it was only on the assumption that was that we're going to take. But the chiddush is that since it was sincere, since it was real, so it works. Just like, it's certainly no less than the case of one who's mafkir is kerem, and he wakes up the next morning and he claims it for himself. That's Tosfos explains, and just one second, I'll take your question. Tosfos explains that we're not doing an impomai Tosfos. Tosfos explains that the simple mechanics of the Gemara, so let's just look at it inside. Tosfos, the second last Tosfos on the page, Amai Zebzepeya. It's not a mai, it's mai. It says a mai, it's not what it means. What does it mean, zeb zepeya? The bishlama. Oso shenutlo havyopeya. That which he took for himself. Excuse me, that which they took, not they. Oso shenutlo, that which they take. That which they took is peya. Ho'il benutlo medaito. They took it with his consent. El osa shehniach stama, the mil sahayu b'daita. Right, he agreed. In other words, they came and he didn't stop them. So the bishma osa shenat lo habi peya. Obviously, he doesn't have to give ma'aser on that. Ho the not lo midaito. El osa shehniach stama, the mil osa shehniach stama the mil sahayu b'daito shem yitlo mitzad acher sheyachzav yizkiva. Obviously. His thinking was that if they would take from another side, so he would reclaim this payah for himself. So the din is that it's patim and a ma'aser. U'ma'asi raya, the beginning of the next Tosos, his raya is, the Gemara's raya is, the b'shvil shechazah v'zachaba lo machayvinon, that when a person is maskir his sada, and then he later reacquires it, he's not going to be chayv again in ma'aser. Kevan de mitchila payah gemura ha'yisa. Kevan de mitchila, that initially it was payah gemura, Viniftira, who paid the mitzvah of the miser, and then Tosfos says that Tami Tam Hafkir is a different reason. But the before we get to that, the idea over here once again is that once he is mafkir, even if he's going to require it later, it's still going to be he's still going to be exempt from having to give Maisa from that particular field, because it doesn't say Tazov. Yeah, so Rashi quoted again the sugya later on, that since it doesn't say, it doesn't repeat Ta'azov, right? By, what does it mean Ta'azov? If you take a look in sources number 4 or 5.
And that explains why when you have been required to continue to be kind of alive and pay.
Right, but the Gemara says, so again, so how do you say, because there's no special gezeiros hakosav to say that you are, you, oh, you're saying just that you've simply, you've reacquired it. Right. Right. So Tosos, so Tosos quotes a different source. Tosos.
That's supposed to be quite a trick.
Right. So.
You're going to say that 100%. So, isn't that, and everybody can do that.
I just want to say Tosos quotes a different source, just to let you know that Tosos quotes the source comes from the pasuk in source number 7 that Uba Levi Kein Lo Chelak VeNachala Imach VaGeva Yisama Manah Hashem B'Shiracha VaChul V'Saveyu LeMan Yiracha Hashem Elokecha V'Chamasei Yadecha Asher Taseh. So the first words over there, Uba Levi Kein Lo Chelak VeNachala Imach. So Tosos cites Tosefta. Right? What does he say? The Miptur Kedeshin, the Sifrei, I thought I put on the sheet, but I didn't. The Sifrei writes, the Torah says, what? You allow the Levi to come to take the Maisa. Why? Because he doesn't have a Chelek in Eretz Israel, so therefore you have to give him Yotzadeh. But that excludes this one, Sheyesh Lo Chelek V'Nachala Imach. He has a Chelek with you, watch. Imhu Levi, Ani. Because if he's what happens to be an Ani, no topeya, he's entitled to pay it. So therefore, you see from there that any time you have something which is otherwise shayach to the lady for some other reason, so you're not chayav in meiser. So here, the fact that I at one point was mafkir this sadeh, so now the entire sadeh becomes patim in a meiser. That's the din. The entire sadeh becomes patim in a meiser. There's nothing that can change that.
It's not some hefker. Somehow he has to make it hefker.
No, but we're seeing no, because a mafkir kerem, the raya that we bring is from a mafkir's kerem. The last case, the brisa that's cited on the bottom, it's not l'shem pei. The guy's mafkir's kerem wholeheartedly. Whether it was all part of a sinister plan, I don't know.
How does the mafkir go to bed?
Why do you have to say that? He makes an announcement. He's mafkir his kerem.
Then he immediately says,
Okay, so what are you concerned about? That now he's positive from the Maisa? Good, just positive from the Maisa. So what does he gain? So he's okay.
10%.
Okay. That's what he wants to do. Okay. I mean, I think that's the conclusion here. That is what we're saying. That a person is not going to, there is a way to get out of Maisa. There is a way to get out of Maisa.
What did he say was the reason that he is positive from the Maisa? So you put in the process.
Right. Why? Why? Because the pasuk is only talking about peya?
No. What did this person
say from this pasuk? Ahayna taima d'miftira. The reason why a hefker field is potter from peya, he says, because it says from meiser, excuse me, because there's a barley viki ein lo chelik v'nachala imach. Right. The lady comes and takes from the field because he has no chelik v'nachal. Yotzeh zeh, to the exclusion of one who has a chelik v'nachal imak, namely, if the lady happens to be an ani, so he's now entitled to the various matnas aniyim. So that's the source for this idea that a field that is otherwise available to the lady, I am not chayiv on that field to give maaser. I'm only chayiv to give maaser to the Levi on something she'ein lo chelek v'nachala imach, something that he's otherwise not entitled to. But if he's entitled to it anyway, either because he's Galani or because I was masker it, so now I'm not chayav to give ma'isa from that field. And there's no pasuk that's repeated to tell me that once I reacquire it, I'm now obligated to give him again, as we do have by the Matnos Aminim.
The logic is that during the few moments that it was hefker, Levi might have acquired it.
Right, he could have.
He didn't.
Right.
So he's out of luck.
Right.
If he might have acquired it, then he thinks that I am, that I don't have property, but we could both acquire that property. I just acquired it or reacquired it before he had a chance to do it.
Right. 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 And interesting, and the person who now is required, person who's acquired for himself is also not chayiv in Maisa now. No, he's not.
It's just the Maisa, but the Olos, he is.
I mean, the Olos, it's not his field. If I'm mafkir my Karen, and you come and start chopping up all the grapes, you don't have your own obligation of.
Somebody, but he acquires it again.
Right.
Initial,
right. So that's the Tazov. That's
somebody else, they're not required to Karen, Olos.
Right. There's a different version of that drasha that I cited. If you look at source number 11, so it says, "Ki ein lo chelik v'nachalo imach, mimashi yesh lecha v'ein lo." It's the same idea cited by Tosos, a different formulation. From that which is yours and not his, tein lo, that from that you should give him. Yatsa, but this comes to exclude the case of hefker, she yadcha v'yado shavin bo. That his hand and your hand are basically, you have equal claims to it. So now we say from here that a hefke patur min atshuma from min ha'maisis.
So in this case, does the Bala Bais have the right, though, to tell the Indian not to go to one portion of the field if he wants to leave one portion of the
field? Does he have a right to tell them you can't go there? Right, so I don't know. Is that clear? It's not necessarily clear from here. Right. So it's interesting that the Rambam. Let me try to answer your question. Let me see if this answers. One second. Let me see if this answers your question. Let's just try to answer. The Rambam writes, and this is a surprise to people who comment on the Rambam, that if a balabai, you see source number 12, balabai shenasan pei laniim, v'amru lo tein lanu mitzad zev, and nasan le mitzad acher, zuvazu peya. In other words, the Rambam, when he quotes this sugya, seems to take the initial interpretation, the one that is rejected by the Gemara. The balabai gives peya to laniim, and then he says, give them mitzad zeh, and they take from and they give them from another side, so both are considered peya. Even though the Gemara rejects this interpretation and says it's not what it means, it just means one is Padma and Maisa. It's clearly not what the Rambam needs to say over here. So you see in source number 13, the Nachos David said he cannot believe this. How could the Rambam do this? He's just completely misquoting the Gemara. But some suggest that the Rambam is actually basing himself on a Tosefta, that our Gemara uses an expression of what, and this may answer your question, I'm not sure. The Balabayisha, he niach peya. He leaves a field, meaning he leaves it with the expectation that Anim could take from here, and then they take from another one. So in that case, it doesn't seem like he's so makbid over here. But the Rambam's case, which is formulated a little differently and actually based on a Tosefta, says the Balabayisha not on peya Anim. He actually designated, he calls this peya. He says, this is pay, this is Aniyim. And then they go ahead and, well, it can't be just, they just come ahead and take from the other one. How does that work? Well, the Baish not on Pele Aniyim. So the Ravaz explains this. That's what I have, a little tame on music.
So he gives them from the other side.
Right, he gives them from, right, that's it. Right, now they come and he says, okay, I'll give it from there. Not realizing, that's right. Not realizing, right. So he could protest. He could say, no, that's the payer. But if he didn't realize, in the case where he actually declared one corner payer, and then in the end it turns out that he, not realizing what he was doing, agrees to give them the other side of Teyas, and now both of them are going to be paid, according to the way the Rambam understands with the Septa. But our Gemara seems to say, A, that's not so. There's no such din necessarily to begin with, or at least the Gemara is not addressing that because it says Himiyach. And furthermore, it would seem that in all cases he can stop them. He could stop them, as he could say no.
No, I just have a question.
Yeah.
If he is not here to the field, is this only for this particular crop for this season, or the field becomes after for anybody to come and do whatever they want to with this?
I don't know. You mean what about next year? Is that what you mean? Right, so that's another thing I saw discussed. I didn't even get into it, but I saw that Shah discussed as well, was payers of the karka. There were so many things that I planned to do that I'm going to get to, so I don't know. I thought that was a... But I saw the question discussed, so... I don't know if we're going to do this. I don't know. I personally like Bava Kama better than Zeroyim. I don't know. We'll see. Right, and I'm having so. Right, so I think if you get. Right, so I think that if you take a look. Right. Take a look at the just a continuation of the piece on the rug. So I think he addresses.